40 years ago, James Meredith's registration as the first black student at the University of Mississippi sparked what some have called the last battle of the Civil War. It took thousands of soldiers and National Guardsmen to stop the night-long riot in Oxford. Two people died before order was restored. Today, about 1,600 of the university's 13,000 students are African American. NPR sent two reporters, black and white, to explore Ole Miss. Cheryl Corley and David Molpus found an institution bound together by customs and symbols that continue to generate both intense loyalty and discomfort.
Ole Miss is a school steeped in history and tradition. Football tops the list. Each home game starts with the same ritual. Nearly 20,000 people, mostly alumni, crowd into the campus grove, a grassy area shaded by giant magnolias and ancient oaks. In one area, the Ole Miss band revs up the fans who erupt into the school's famous Hotty Toddy cheer.
Hotty Toddy, gosh, mighty, who the hell to read? Hey, blim, blam, bim, bam, Ole Miss, my damn! Let's go, Rebels!
When the predominantly black football team arrives in sports coats and ties at the so-called Walk of Champions, they pass through throngs of mainly white fans lined up to give the athletes supportive slaps on their outstretched palms.
All day, Ole Miss grads like Percy Galbraith of Memphis hobnob, chow down, and party in the grove.
It's sort of a debauchery, if you will.
The scene includes Bloody Marys, grilled tenderloin, and candelabras spread out on linen tablecloths under tents.
And most alums, like Tommy Jones, arrive awfully early.
I claim this morning at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock in the morning?
Yes. I pitched the tent, I set the chairs, put the tables up, and I had me some coffee brewed, and I sat down and had my devotion and drank my coffee.
But one thing is noticeably different from this Ole Miss family picnic. There are a few black faces left after the football team passes through. Francine Luckett and her husband from the Mississippi Delta sometimes have black guests at their tent, but regret that so few blacks join in the pre-game grove tradition. Francine expects she knows why.
The bad issue, I'm going to just say this anyway, if you'll turn around and look at that Confederate flag, now that is very bothersome.
There are only a handful of Confederate flags in the grove. You must hunt to find them.
Still, it's enough to make some black students feel unwelcome. 19-year-old Keziah Pigford talked about it with friends at the student union.
I think for a lot of the black students, it's kind of like going to a party that you know you weren't invited to, but you went anyway. So, like you were saying, you see the rebel flag, and I know some of those people, they're not racist, but you can't help as a black person but to feel that it's directed towards you. It's wrong, we do it, but you automatically assume they must be racist. They don't want me here. I shouldn't be here. I need to go home.
When I was a student here in the late 60s, Confederate flags were everywhere. One was even large enough to cover the entire football field. The university's chancellor, Robert Kayak, discourages Confederate flags but says they must be tolerated in the grove as a First Amendment right.
At football games, though, he got rid of them by banning sticks in the stadium. As the chancellor says, a flag without a stick is not much of a flag.
Well, after James Meredith enrolled at Ole Miss, blacks remained on the fringes of campus life. For years, there were no black athletes, professors, or administrators. But gradually, they have moved into the mainstream.
Blacks have reached senior leadership levels, including one vice chancellor.
There are black coaches and cheerleaders.
A black student has been named Colonel Reb, the title for the most popular guy on campus.
And two of the last three student body presidents have been African American.
Still, how much progress has been made depends on where you sit. From Chancellor Robert Kayat's perch, there's a lot to be proud of.
We love the fact that we're a diverse university, that students come from all over the world here. We are almost 13% African American. That's a very high number for a non-urban Southern university.
Among students, opinions are more mixed.
The school tries to paint a certain picture of what it's all about. But when you actually get here and you live here, especially as a minority, you get to see how it's still the same. It's still racist.
You know, my freshman year, I wanted to find out what was it about the guys that I tried to play football with that they just didn't like about me. And we don't speak on a regular basis, but when I see them, I feel like I've had incredibly heartfelt discussions with them.
I think there's frustration on both sides. I am frustrated because the place that I love and the people that I know are not the stereotype that you get of Mississippi.
Students Mark Carr, Vonderos Gordon, and Mary Beth Lassiter.
You're headed toward the academic circle. This is the university circle here where you have a statue of a Confederate soldier. Bam. Right up front, which has spurred a lot of controversy over the years, you know. And many have said he's saying, look away, Dixieland. That's why he's holding his hand.
Brian Haynes is 21, a senior and president of the Black Students Union, or BSU. During a stroll along the university campus, he points out the statue honoring the Confederate dead, the building where James Meredith registered, and other significant spots. University Circle is the main entrance into the campus, the oldest part of Ole Miss. It's also the site of a campus landmark, the Greek-styled Lyceum, which was used as a field hospital during the Civil War. In 1962, the administration building was protected by federal marshals as protesters rioted against the admission of James Meredith to the university.
But this is where the battles were fought here in Oxford during the segregation periods. And this is where Governor Barnett would always come out and say what he had to say about Ole Miss would not integrate.
The University of Mississippi has had a reputation of being the school for the state's elite, a place to get an education, but also the institution where important connections are made. Sitting in the BSU office, Haynes and other Black students say that's why white students have come to the university for years. And now Black students have come for...
Same reason. Trying to better myself, get education, get a degree, get a good job. That was my main purpose and still is my main goal, to graduate with a degree from a top institution in the South, the University of Mississippi.
BSU President Brian Haynes, here's sophomore Christiana Jackson.
Before you get here, people tell you, a Black person with a degree from the University of Mississippi, you're going to get a job anywhere in Mississippi. Anywhere, as soon as you graduate. So I think that's in the back of a lot of Black students' minds when they're walking across the stage in their gown. It's definitely an accomplishment.
Many Blacks who've attended Ole Miss have gone on to prominent positions in government, business, and academia, including Donald Cole. His odyssey tells a lot about Ole Miss today. Cole arrived as a freshman 6 years after James Meredith and gradually became more militant in making demands on behalf of Blacks. He participated in a rather tame Black Power demonstration that got him arrested and expelled. Now, though, with his Ph.D. in math, he's back at the university, invited back to teach. The outcast of Ole Miss has become an insider. He holds the titles of Associate Dean of the Graduate School and Associate Provost for Multicultural Affairs.
I see African-American presence in every part and fabric of its culture. The administrators that I saw as a freshman and the administrators that I see now have a very different attitude about the presence of African-Americans here. And today I can see the embracement.
Cole says, though, he always looks at the place with mixed emotions. There are, for example, too many Black instructors at Ole Miss who, he says, should be full tenured professors. Curtis Wilkie feels much the same way. A fourth-generation Ole Miss grad, Wilkie left in 1963, disgusted with the school and the state. He remained estranged from both until recently. Now, after a long career with the Boston Globe, Wilkie is a visiting professor in the Ole Miss Journalism Department.
I just like what's going on here. There's a sense of equity, and things are not perfect here, but people are working harder on it than I found in a lot of places where I lived after I left the state, whether it's Washington, D.C., or Boston, or Jerusalem. You know, none of those places were a racial nirvana either.
Wilkie says the university is truly becoming more of a public institution, moving away from its country club party school image. He especially likes the new emphasis on academics and growing student awareness of the school's past. Just last week, the Student Senate unanimously repealed a resolution from 1962 censoring the campus newspaper editor for her condemnation of violence surrounding James Meredith's admission. Now students are praising the editor for her courage.
Oh,
If there is any place where there's evidence of change, tradition, and continuing racial separation, it's at an Ole Miss football game where thousands of fans come to cheer on the Ole Miss Rebels.
Robert Tolles has seen the change. He brought his 9-year-old grandson to the game. Tolles, a native of Oxford, remembers what it was like when James Meredith broke the university's color line.
40 years ago, I've been scared to come. You know, on kind of, they've been throwing rocks and stuff and all that kind of environment, you know, but it's pretty peaceful right now, you know.
But many African-American students stay away from the games unless it's homecoming, and here's one of the reasons why.
On campus, there is a chorus of opposition and a chorus of support for Dixie, both strong. Suzanne McKay is white, a member of the band. She says there's nothing wrong with the school's musical tradition.
It's not a song from the old South, you know, about slavery or anything to anybody. It's not about black people picking cotton in fields, especially sitting playing it at the football games and seeing the black and white football players just jump up and down. It just gets everybody hype, and it really just represents the connection that we feel with the university.
That's not how 21-year-old Brandy Hurd feels. She plays the bassoon and is a black member of the band. She says when it comes to playing Dixie, she just won't, because it was tied to minstrel shows, and she considers it offensive.
And it's meant to be that way. I don't care how much people say it's heritage. I don't care how much people say that a black person wrote it, which could be true. But that was during a time where black people were looked down upon, and I don't like it, and I never will. That's just it.
Are there other people in the band who don't play the song?
To my knowing, yes.
University Chancellor Robert Kayat says he's tried to fashion a compromise over the song Dixie.
I think that the music should enhance the spirit of the game and the performance of the teams. And when that band hits the fast version of Dixie, you get this huge eruption from the crowd. And you don't get that from any other song that we play except the national anthem. And so the way the band people have dealt with it is to minimize the number of times that it's played out of respect for those who find it offensive.
So for now, Dixie, played a number of ways and combined with other songs, remains.
Some students and administrators say it's time to stop fighting old wars and establish new traditions at Ole Miss.